Amen. Thank you, Mark and Mary Ann. Isn't it great to see Mark up there today singing? Amen. We praise the Lord for that. Definitely, definitely. And I hope you heard the words that they sang today. Those were some great words. And I don't want you to ever forget, we were made to thrive. I hope that you remember that as you leave these doors today and as you face Monday morning, as you go through everything that you're dealing with in your life. We were made to thrive. I'd like you to turn your Bibles today to Luke chapter 19. We're going to take a 1 week hiatus from the days of Elijah. We'll get back into the days of Elijah next week, but the Lord really laid this passage on my heart this week as we were going through Vacation Bible School. You know, I don't have to tell you, but VBS week is probably, if not my most favorite, one of the most favorite weeks that I have in the year. I love Vacation Bible School. I love the energy. I love how so many different people come together in a church to make VBS happen. I love the excitement and the wonder of the kids as some of them hear stories about Jesus for the first time. And I love how, without fail, God always shows up and draws little hearts and little minds to Him. And so I'll tell you what, it is a joy and a privilege to invest my time and energy sharing the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with children. And so we have had a blast this past week. And today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that you're going to be familiar with. And for some of you in this room, it may take you way, way back. It may take you back to Vacation Bible School days, because we're going to look at a story about a man named Zacchaeus. All of you know the story about Zacchaeus. And I want you to know that really the ultimate point of this story is about a missional Messiah. Do you know that we have a missional Messiah? The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Well, but this is a story about Zacchaeus. You know, music is important in VBS. There's just no two ways about it. Music teaches doctrine, and it really implants in minds the truths of Scripture. And I want you to know the music we had this week was fabulous. And most of you, you're going to have these songs in your head for weeks, if not months afterwards, thanks to the CDs that we gave out on Friday night. Amen? Amen. But it's good. It's good music. I woke up this morning thinking about that song, More Than Just a Good Man. More than just a good man. I'm excited about it. It's good music. And it's reinforcing the message that we tried to get across to the kids. But you know what? It's always been that way. When I was a boy and I went to Vacation Bible School, the music reinforced the truths of God's Word. Think about maybe some of the top hits of VBS when you were a kid or when I was a kid. You know, there's some timeless songs that we used to sing. Songs like Deep and Wide. Y'all remember that one? And This Little Light of Mine. If You're Happy and You Know It. All of those songs I remember from my childhood. But you know what? There's one song that stands out in my mind from Vacation Bible School that taught this story that we're going to look at today. And the song was called Zacchaeus. Y'all remember that song? Y'all remember that song? Some of you do? I don't know why, but it just feels right today. Feels like we ought to sing that song. Now, I'm not into doing solos up here, okay? I'll tell you that right now. So I need your help. So I'm going to sing this song, and I'd really like it if you'd sing along with me, because it's going to tell the story of Zacchaeus, all right? Let's give it a shot and see what we can do today, what we can come up with. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in... Oh, you know the motions too. Tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Amen. Good job. Good job. I am so impressed you all know the motions. You all that are in Bible school know this. Your pastor is rhythmically challenged. I love to sing them, but when I have to start doing this kind of stuff, and I don't do very well with it. So Natalie laughed at me all week long. But, you know, this is a story we think about as a children's story. But it really is a lot more than that. And it's the story that God told me to talk about today. because we need to talk about this. It has some big time applications for us as adults. And most importantly, as we follow our missional Messiah. And some of you here today, you may not relate to the missional Messiah as much as you do Zacchaeus. But there's a great message for you as well. So let's dive into Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and then we're going to talk about the mission of our Messiah. Bible says, and it's talking about Jesus, He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house." Verse 6 says, "So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, 'He's gone to lodge with a sinful man.' But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, 'Look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much.'" Listen to what Jesus said, verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus told him, "because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Let's pray together. Father, I am so thankful for the mission of Jesus. There is no doubt when you read the Gospels and read your word that Jesus came to this earth to save lost souls. And I was a lost soul. I was growing up in a good home and going to church on Sunday as a child, but I was lost. I had a rebellious, wicked, sinful heart that had turned from you. I was doomed. I was damned. I was destined for hell without Jesus. I'm so thankful for my Messiah. I'm so thankful for the missional Messiah who goes to places where others might not dare to go, reaches out to people whom others might not care to see, and shares the truth in such a way that draws them into a new, changed relationship, a life-changing experience. Help us to understand more about this today and then to apply this to our lives, whether we need to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior or whether we need to be like Christ and on mission for Him in our community and in our nation and in our world. Spirit, please speak through me today as I share your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I said, there are two main characters in this story, two people who are the focus of the story. First, let's talk about Zacchaeus just for a moment, okay? There's some things that we want to point out about Zacchaeus straight out of this text. First thing that needs to be said, he was a chief tax collector. That was a position of power and authority, and a position that also made him very unpopular. He may have had power, he may have had money, but he did not have the respect of the people. As a matter of fact, it isn't a stretch at all to say that Zacchaeus was hated. Now, the truth of the matter is that even today, nobody likes tax people, right? Nobody likes tax people. You just don't hear a conversation like this. Hello, I'm so-and-so with the IRS. Well, glad to meet you. Come on over. Let me take you out to dinner today. You just don't hear those kind of conversations. Nobody gets excited when somebody from the IRS is in the room. If you're with the IRS, please, you're welcome here today. You're at home at Hillcrest. You know, I can kind of relate, by the way. Before I came here, I was bivocational. I preached at Swedenborg, and I worked for the county assessor's office in Pulaski County. And I'll tell you what, I did field review. And I'd drive my little Jeep out there with the assessor plastered all over it, and I wasn't always well received. In fact, there were some times I wish I wasn't there. But Zacchaeus was not well liked and not well received. And here's the thing. You need to understand this about Zacchaeus. Here's why he was hated even more. You see, Zacchaeus was a Jew, And yet he served and worked for the Roman government. And that made him a traitor in the eyes of the people of Jericho. He was a traitor. He was a Jew who worked for the Romans. And by the way, taxes in that time, they were collected in three different places. In Jerusalem, Capernaum, and Jericho. And Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector. He was the head of the Jericho department or the Jericho division. He was over it all. He was the boss. And the second thing that we need to see about Zacchaeus is he was wealthy. He was very well off. He had a nice house. If he would have had one, he had a nice car. He had all the amenities of life in that time. Zacchaeus had made a fortune in a business that provided him ample opportunity to cheat citizens out of their earnings. You see, the region around Jericho at that time was very prosperous. King Herod had built up the area, and there was money there. There was no economic downturn at this time. And Zacchaeus had become very wealthy, and here's how he did it. You see, he had a job to do. The Roman government said, as tax collector, you have to go out and collect X amount of dollars. You need to get, let's say you wanted you're to get 5% of this person's income. And that may be a generous estimate. It may have been a lot more than that. But whatever it was he was assigned to do, he had full right and full reign to go and collect whatever he wanted. So if it was 5% he was collecting, he might demand 10%. And he would pocket the rest. And the Roman government let him do that. There were no limits. He could get the cut. There were no rules. And the locals were helpless to do anything about it. And they were merciless at the hands of these tax collectors. So, folks, get this. They were way down on the list at that time. I mean, they were the lowest of the low. Now, thirdly, here's the thing that you probably resonate with more than anything else, especially if you sang that song in Bible school years ago. He was short. Bible says, the song says he was a wee little man. Now, we don't talk that way in these politically correct times, so we better change that. Maybe we ought to say he was vertically challenged or diminutive. I like that word, diminutive. But if Hollywood were doing this story, if they had to do this story today and they were doing a story on the Bible, I know the guy that would play this role. It would have to be Danny DeVito. Danny would have to be the role. He'd be Zacchaeus. I mean, because I really believe he was very short. See, men weren't as tall back then as they are today, and I believe he was very, very short. And so, picture it in your mind just for a moment. Jesus is coming through Jericho, and the word has spread, and crowds have gathered on the street. Think about a big parade. If you've ever been to Disney World or Disneyland, you know how they have parades 3 or 4 times a day. Here's one for you. If you ever come to the Lebanon Christmas Parade, first time I was in that, when we had a float in that, I couldn't believe the crowd that was here. I mean, there must have been 5 or 10,000 out there gathered on the streets. It was a huge crowd. Think about everybody's gathered on the streets of Jericho because this man named Jesus is coming through. And Zacchaeus is a little late getting there. And he's short anyway, and he can't see around the people. You know, and can you imagine the scene? He's trying to look around and position himself. Maybe he's hopping up and down trying to get a view. And these guys are all too pleased to stand right here. They're not about to let this jerk through. And so he can't find any way to see Jesus. And he wants to see Jesus. And so he does something that's very unconventional. He finds this sycamore tree and he begins to climb up the tree. Now again, picture this sight with me. Here's this guy, he's not a young man, he's middle-aged at best, and so he's trying to climb up the tree, and he's huffing and puffing, he's short anyway. Suppose he had to leap up to get to the first branch, and he's huffing and puffing, and think about this, he's in a robe. You ever seen anybody try to climb a tree in a robe? How about a middle-aged man? You're laughing, aren't you? It's a funny story, it's amazing to think about. It is not a pretty sight. What made him do that? Why would he go to those lengths to see Jesus? I don't know. You know, the Bible really doesn't tell us. Maybe it's because he'd heard about how an old blind man named Bartimaeus had been healed earlier that day. Or maybe he'd heard stories about Jesus that not only had he healed the sick, but he'd cast out demons. The fact that he'd actually raised someone from the dead. Maybe, And folks, I think this is probably the most likely. Maybe, despite his power, his prestige, his wealth and prosperity, maybe Zacchaeus was a miserable, lonely old man who knew that something was missing in his life. Maybe Zacchaeus was seeking something that he didn't have. He was rich, but he was unhappy. He was successful, but he was empty. He was in a high-speed pursuit of purpose and meaning and fulfillment, and he was coming up short. No pun intended. Well, maybe a pun intended. I don't know. Folks, the point is money and fame just don't get it. There's a lady whose name was Aristotle Onassis. You may recognize that last name. Jacqueline Kennedy married this woman's father, Aristotle Onassis. And Christina was her name, and this is something that she said one time. She said, "Happiness is not based on money. And the greatest proof of that is my family." You know what happened 2 months after she said that? She took her life. Money doesn't bring happiness. Doris Duke, a tobacco heiress, her family left her $1 billion in inheritance. She died in 1993. This was her quote. "All the money I have has proven to be a barrier to personal fulfillment." And folks, if money in and of itself brought happiness, then Hollywood ought to be the happiest place on earth. But folks, the truth is it's far from happy. There's a lot of rich, wealthy, famous people who are miserable today. So many people are like Zacchaeus. Don't even think about Hollywood and celebrities. Think about people today living all over our country. They have good jobs. They have a good income. They're enjoying the finer things in life, but they're empty. Something is missing on the inside. And people, man, they just keep chasing that carrot. They think that a meaningful relationship, go online and find or meet somebody, or a job, or some accomplishment will fill that emptiness that's in their heart. And then there's others. And they get jaded and cynical, and they resort to drugs and alcohol as a way of escape from life. There's an emptiness, men and women and boys and girls, in our hearts that only Jesus can fill. Only Jesus can fill empty hearts. And that brings me to the second key figure in this story. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the second figure. Now, I know how it reads in Luke, how Luke words it. He says that Jesus had been just passing through Jericho that day. But don't make any mistake about it. Jesus had a greater purpose. Our Savior is a missional Messiah. He knew what He was doing when He went through there. And I want to take the rest of this sermon to talk about five things that Jesus did to reach Zacchaeus. And for those of you who are Christians today, who are members at Hillcrest, you need to take notes, because there are five things that we can do and should do to reach lost people that are all around us, be they rich or be they poor. And the second thing I want is I want this to be a message of hope if you're lost today. If you've come in today and you don't know where to go, and there's something missing in your life and you're empty and you're desperate like Zacchaeus, there's hope for you in Jesus. Five things that Jesus did to reach Zacchaeus. Number one, the first thing Jesus did is He focused on the individual in the midst of the crowd. Jesus focused on the individual in the midst of the crowd. I love this about Jesus, and you know, sometimes we fail to see this when we're studying the Gospels or studying God's Word. When I read through the Gospels, I think it's very interesting and very telling that Jesus was often surrounded by crowds. In fact, He was a very busy guy. And there were people always clamoring for His time. Huge crowds gathered around Him during His 3-year ministry. Jesus was often met by the masses, yet He ministered to individuals. Think about the times where Jesus would minister to the individual, to the one woman at the well, to Nicodemus, to the rich young ruler, and here again we see Him. To the thief on the cross, and here again we see Him in verse 5. Can you imagine Zacchaeus up in that tree when Jesus looked up and saw him? I'll bet he just about fell out of the tree. He didn't expect Jesus to see him. He was wanting to get a look at Jesus. And here's what I want to say to you. If you're searching today, you may be here today because you're searching for Jesus. Make no mistake about it. He is pursuing you. He is pursuing you just as hard as you're pursuing him. And he was looking for Zacchaeus that day. Maybe even more, definitely more than Zacchaeus was even looking for him. And so I want you to notice what happens here. Look at verse 5. Let's look in the text at verse 5. The first thing we see is that Jesus came to him. Verse 5 starts out by saying, when Jesus came to the place. What place? To the place of his divine appointment. Jesus comes to the dead sinner and offers life, and Jesus, God Almighty, has divine appointments for you and for me where we can meet the risen, resurrected Savior. We're all dead in sin until Jesus saves us. And here's a question for his disciples, for specifically his disciples at Hillcrest Baptist Church. Are we going to them? Are we going to where they are? Are we coming to them? We must get outside these four walls. And folks, I want to commend you. You did a great job of doing that in Vacation Bible School. The block party at Gasconade Park was a great success. But you got to keep going to them. You got to keep building relationships. And here's what you got to do, guys, because I really believe going to them isn't, it's about being intentional, but it's not necessarily about going 1,000 miles away. It's about seeing needs right where you are. And the second thing I see in this verse is he saw him. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. It says he looked up. Folks, I think as believers, we need to be people watchers. Are you a people watcher? Are you an observer of people? You know, sometimes when I'm in certain places, I am. If I'm in an airport and I've got an hour or two to kill, I can become a people watcher. I can watch people walk by, or if I'm in a certain place, maybe at the mall, waiting on my wife to shop, I can be a people watcher. But you know what? When I'm in my normal everyday routine, sometimes I don't see people. Sometimes I stop at the gas station and I don't see somebody I need to speak to. Sometimes I stop at the counter at Walmart and I don't see that person who's hurting. Watch for people. And specifically Christians, watch for people who show an interest in the things of God. Watch for people who, maybe they listen, maybe it's very subtle, but they're listening to what you have to say when you give a word about Jesus or when you're sharing your testimony. Maybe they're on the other side of the room, but be a people watcher. Watch for people who are hurting, because it may be just the person God has put in your path to lead to Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to him. He saw him. Thirdly, Jesus connected with him. He connected with him. Jesus said to him, last part of verse 5, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house. See how he's connecting with him? He's building a relationship. And you see, when Jesus said that, I must stay, do you see the urgency of that call? It was an urgent call. Folks, I want to say, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God through Jesus. So many people tell me, you know, Pastor, I've been thinking about that, and I'm just not ready right now. I got to get some things right in my life. You'll never get right or be right enough to get right with God. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear His voice and He's speaking to your heart, humble yourself. Get saved today. It was an urgent call, and it was an unmistakable call. Jesus isn't out there to show you the way to become a better person, although he can do that. He wasn't out there to get him to follow some movement because he needed his money, although we should be givers. He wasn't out there because he needed Zacchaeus. He was out there for one reason and one reason only. He was interested in his heart. And folks, he's interested in your heart today. But Jesus focused on the individual in the midst of the crowd. Second thing he did is Jesus cared enough to spend time with Zacchaeus. He cared enough to spend time with Zacchaeus. He says, today I must stay at your house. You see, Jesus promised more than a casual meeting under a tree. He did a lot more than just hand a tract out and say, here you are, buddy, you're on your own. He took the time to build a relationship with Zacchaeus. And notice this too. He didn't preach a sermon at him right off the bat. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, I need to come to your house because I've got to preach a message to you about stealing. I know that you're a thief. Or I want to preach some moral sermon to you. No, he built a relationship with him. And folks, like never before, we've got to be intentional about building relationships with lost people who are all around us. Lost people who work with us. Lost people in our families. Lost people in our neighborhoods. Jesus was willing to spend time with Zacchaeus. It's not enough to seek out folks, but we have to have a real, genuine, true concern for them. And by the way, it has to be a genuine, true concern. I know most of you here today are native Ozarkians. And a lot of times, being an Ozarkian, like I myself am, sometimes we are not given the credit that we deserve. We're called hillbillies, or we're called Midwesterners, and we don't maybe have the savvy or the education of other people. But I'll tell you one thing about every Ozarkian I've ever met. People who live in the Ozarks can spot a phony from a mile away. And people who know that you're just out there and you don't genuinely concern, or are not genuinely concerned, they know. They can spot a phony from a mile away. You've got to care. You've got to be concerned. You've got to build a relationship. Now think with me about this for a moment. Listen, Jesus knew everything there was to know about Zacchaeus, and he pursued him anyway. He still loved him. He still had compassion on him. What a picture of grace that is. What a picture of the church that ought to be. I know that there's people that can get under our skin. I know that there are some people out there that are EGR, extra grace required. By the way, I just remembered, Jesus knows everything there is to know about me, and he loves me anyway, and he forgives me, and he offers me grace. He'll save us by his grace if we'll only come to him. You know, that's what separates Christianity from the rest of the world, every other world religion, a personal relationship. Do you know Jesus personally? Do you know the Savior? That's the question before you today. But here's my question for Christians in this room today. Are you willing to go to people that are not like you? Are you willing to go to people that maybe are down and out, maybe are having a tough time? Think about Zacchaeus. Think about what he'd been through. Think about where he was. He was damaged goods, wasn't he? He was a difficult person. He was a hurting person. Folks, here's what I want to say to you today. This is what God would have me say to the church at Hillcrest. We are most like Jesus when we spend time with damaged people. People are hurting all around us. Think about Zacchaeus. You know, it was no accident he was the way he was as a middle-aged man. I'll bet he'd been bullied as a child. I'll bet he had some stories to tell. He had been hurt, and now, as an adult, he was doing something where he could get back at all those people who had hurt him. But you know what? We are most like Jesus when we spend time with difficult people. Make no doubt about it, Zacchaeus was a difficult person. He was difficult because he was a tax collector. He was difficult because he was a man who had taken advantage of others. But Jesus took time for this difficult person. But thirdly, we are most like Jesus when we take time and spend time with desperate people. I think Jesus saw that most of all, Zacchaeus was a desperate person. He was desperate for love. He was desperate for acceptance. He was desperate for purpose and meaning. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you in this room to be intentional at work, at school, at home, wherever it is God takes you, right in this own, your sphere of influence, to befriend the friendless. Build a relationship with that person who's damaged goods. They're hurting. Maybe they're a jerk. Maybe they're a difficult person. Can you see with God's perspective? Can you see a greater perspective? Who around you is short? They're short of feeling God's love. They're short of receiving time and attention from others. whose life might be transformed if you showed them a little kindness because Christ lives in you. That's what Jesus did. He cared enough to spend time with this man who was damaged goods. And not only that, but Jesus viewed Zacchaeus differently. He saw him differently than everyone else. You know, it's really interesting. Do you know what Zacchaeus' name meant? It's interesting. In the original language, it meant pure or righteous one. Now, I doubt if many people in Jericho referred to him as his name, knowing what his name meant. Names meant something back then. I doubt if very many people called him Zacchaeus or even Zac. I'm sure they had a few other choice names to call him. But they sure didn't see him as pure or righteous. Really, Zacchaeus was a jerk. Now, Jesus, by contrast, he saw him through different eyes. He saw him through spiritual eyes. Jesus saw him not for who he was, but for who he could be and what he could be through the power of God. And so Jesus was willing to say, Zacchaeus, I know that none of your neighbors will come to your house. They're not going to come and have anything to do with you. But I do, I will, and I'm the Lord of glory. I'm coming to your house. And what a payoff it was. You see, that fact wasn't lost on Zacchaeus. This guy that I'm desperate to see, he's willing to spend time with me. I see something differently in his life. And notice what it says here in verse 6. It says, he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. You see, when Jesus invested time in this difficult, damaged, desperate guy, three things happened. First thing, as a result, Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly. You know, there's a lot of people today that talk a good talk about not believing in Jesus, not believing in God, not wanting anything to do with the church. But you know, really, they're needy. They really want to check out the church. In fact, a lot of people, they'll come to church if you'll just invite them. What they really are wanting to know is if it's real. Is it real or is it just fake? Heard a guy say one time, a pastor, a preacher, talking about how he loved to watch WWF wrestling. And he said, you know, the reason people flock to those wrestling matches and watch it on TV is the same thing. They want to know, is it real or is it fake? And the truth is a lot of people think that what we're doing here today is a fake. It's just blustery. It has no meaning. Show them that you're real. Show them that you're genuine. Show them that you really are who you said you are. He was overjoyed at the opportunity to be with Jesus. He knew that Jesus was different. He saw that joy, that confidence, that authority in Jesus' life. By the way, joy is a byproduct of genuine salvation. Joy is something the world can't give you. You can have temporary happiness, but true and lasting, abiding joy comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it cannot be duplicated in this world. So Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly. Second thing that happened as a result is Zacchaeus heard Jesus fully. When Jesus took time to be with him and build a relationship, you know what happened? Jesus had Zacchaeus' ear. He was listening. He was listening to what he had to say. And he ultimately was obedient to the Lord's call. He freely gave himself to Jesus. Jesus pursued Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus responded to the love that he was shown. And third thing that you got to see here, and this is the thing that you need to know as you go out and go on mission for Jesus. As a result, the third thing that happened is the citizens of Jericho misunderstood completely. They misunderstood Jesus. Notice this passage. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says, all who saw it began to complain. Why, he's gone to lodge with a sinful man. Even though a great work of God was taking place, a God-ordained event, people didn't understand. They couldn't believe it. Surely Jesus would know this kind of man, his reputation and what he did. Surely Jesus would understand. Why would Jesus go to the house of a guy like that? You see, here's the problem. The people viewed Zacchaeus as a lost cause, but Jesus viewed him as a precious lost sinner. How do you view the people around you? When you get serious about doing God's will, you're going to see people differently and you're going to be on mission with God. But you know what else is going to happen? Make no doubt about it. You're going to be misunderstood. People around you are not going to understand. They're going to think you're crazy. Why in the world would that person give up their vacation to go on a mission trip? Why in the world would that person keep talking about the crazy God that they fear? Why in the world would people do that? You're going to be misunderstood. But don't worry about that. They misunderstood our Messiah. Jesus was misunderstood. Something else that you need to see Jesus did is, four, Jesus shared the truth with Zacchaeus. He shared the truth with Zacchaeus. Now, this is the part that is implied. It's not in this story. I would have loved to have had it recorded. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the conversation between the two when Jesus was at Zacchaeus' house? Folks, here's the thing that you need to hear and get out of this. It's not enough simply to befriend and build relationships with people. If we don't share the truth of the gospel with them, what have we accomplished? Relational evangelism is important, but the problem with a lot of relational evangelism today is you never get around to the main thing. You never get around to sharing the gospel. There is no doubt that Jesus shared the gospel, shared the truth with Zacchaeus, because something happened while he stayed with Zacchaeus. And because Jesus shared the truth, two things happened in this story. The first thing that happened as a result is there was confession. This is the part we don't see. We don't know when Zacchaeus confessed, but there's no doubt that Zacchaeus confessed to Jesus. Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, call out to Him and cry out to Him, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Confession took place, but even more importantly and secondly, as a result, there was change. There was change in this man's life. Folks, when people get right with God and they're saved, a life-changing experience takes place. Like I prayed earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And look, new things have come. You see, Zacchaeus was a changed man because of what happened when Jesus spent time with him and built a relationship and shared the truth with him. And the fifth and final thing is there's no doubt that Jesus discipled Zacchaeus. What I mean by that is Jesus taught Zacchaeus how to live and how to give. That's what discipleship really is. As we follow the Master, as we together as a body follow Him together and learn about Him and grow together in Him, we learn how to live and we learn how to give. Because a saved person is a giver, not a taker. He or she is a giver. And notice what happens here. Zacchaeus says, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. You see, Zacchaeus got right with God, and then he got right with others. It just happens that way. We get right with others. We live right. We love God, and we love others. There's a vertical aspect to our salvation and a horizontal aspect to our salvation. Look at what Jesus said. Today, salvation has come to this house. Now, salvation didn't come because Zacchaeus all of a sudden started doing good works. No. The faith came first. Jesus forgave him. Jesus cleansed him. And then he began to live differently. The works were a byproduct of the faith that came from a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that Zacchaeus was saved because a saved life is a changed life. And notice Luke's summary statement right here in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. And folks, here's the bottom line today. The way that Jesus related to Zacchaeus is exactly the same way that He relates to us. And it's exactly the same way that we relate to lost people around us. First of all, Jesus knows you. He knows every one of you in this room. He knows me. He's not a cold, distant, detached God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And listen to me, dear one. Whatever you're going through today, whatever heartaches, whatever struggles, whatever circumstances, whatever difficulties, the Lord knows what you're going through. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to lay it down at His feet. He wants you to surrender to Him. And the reason He does is because He knows what you need. Jesus knows what you need today. He knows what's best. And He knows that first and foremost, what we need most is a relationship with Him. Joining a church or resolving to do better just doesn't cut it. We need Jesus. Thirdly, and most importantly, for everyone in this room, I am so glad of this truth. He sees us not as we are, but for what we can become. Let's start doing that. Let's start looking through spiritual eyes at other people and even at our own lives, because Jesus wants to do a mighty work in us. I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. This is going to be my closing illustration today. This is a picture of the Cullinan Diamond. It's the largest diamond that was ever discovered in the world. That baby was 3,106 carats uncut. It was discovered back in 1905 on January 26th in Pretoria, South Africa. By the way, other famous diamonds pale in comparison to the size of this baby. The Cartier diamond that was famous, Richard Burton gave it to Elizabeth Taylor. It was a mere 240.8 carats rough. Imagine the size of that thing. Now, look at that picture just for a moment. It's kind of a surprising picture, isn't it? That doesn't look like a diamond to me. I mean, I'm not trained and I don't know what to look for. And if I were mining in South Africa, I very likely could have thrown that puppy away. And you might have too. That doesn't look like any diamond to me. It looks kind of unpolished and nasty. But you put that rock in the hands of someone who's knowledgeable, and they don't just see a rock. They see what it could become, a beautiful diamond. Folks, we're that rock. Every one of us in this room is that rock. We're sinful. We're fallen. There's nothing about us that draws Christ to us or draws God to us. But you know what? Let God take that rock in His hands and polish it. And He doesn't just see our shortcomings and our failures and our disappointments and sins. He sees what we can become as we surrender to Him. Every one of you in this room, you're beautiful diamonds that when you surrender to the Master, He does a great work in your life through the power and the presence of Jesus. Will you surrender to Him today? Let's be like Zacchaeus and let's find our Savior. And let's also be like Jesus and let's find those who are lost and damaged and desperate for His love. Let's bow together. Lord, I thank You so much for what You did this week in Bible school. I thank You for the connections we were able to make. Lord, help us to continue to care about people and build relationships. People that live right around us. People that maybe work with us. People who might seem to have all the advantages of life on the outside, yet they're hurting on the inside. God, help us to surrender to You. Help us to receive Your free gift of salvation. And not just pay You lip service, but to give You our lives. To trust You with our lives. Father, I pray that just like Jesus could say, today salvation has come to this house, that we could say the same here at Hillcrest. Salvation has come because Jesus has passed by. Because He's visited our hearts. He's knocked on our heart's door and we've responded by seeking His forgiveness, by repenting and turning from our sins, by trusting Him, and by yielding our lives to Him and boldly choosing to follow Him. Father, whatever needs to happen in this invitation, I pray that Your will would be done. For those who need to make an initial commitment to trust and follow Jesus, compel them to come. For those who have made decisions, maybe even this week, and they need to make a public profession of their faith, help them to be courageous and come forward and not be ashamed to name Jesus as Lord. For those who need to surrender to some other way in their life, maybe to a call in their life, give them the strength to do so. If there's someone that needs to join today, they need to be a part of this body or they need to be baptized. Whatever the need is, Lord, You're in control. You're in charge. Your Spirit is speaking to us. May Your will be done, and we'll give You the praise and the glory. Amen.